Pelé leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
This is the California Golden Bearcast, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This episode is brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. Enjoy the episode.
What is up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bearcast, a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Andy, one of your co-hosts. Today, I am joined by Rob, our very excellent co-host, who opted out of going to the game this last weekend. Tell us about that decision, Rob.
I was feeling a little bit under the weather, and I was at the big game, and it was freezing in the press box. The windows were open, the sun, and that was like, it started at one. The sun hadn't even set by the time the game was over. So I could only imagine what the press box was like in this game, which was pretty much a night game.
Freezing.
With the window open. And the weather overall in the Bay Area was already cold this weekend. So I was like, yeah, I'm not taking that risk. So I experienced football at a stadium during a pandemic. I did it once. Like I'm good with it. I've hit my quota. I don't need to do it again.
And that laugh you hear in the background is our favorite guest of the pod, Travion Beck.
Yes, sir.
Trey.
How you guys doing?
How are you doing after the W?
Hey, great. Trust me, I'm so great. Everything's great down here, man.
Trey, I got to ask to start off. And, you know, we're just gonna ask you about your opinion on the game and what you saw from a player perspective. But, you know, we've been in that press room after wins like this, and we hear you guys from the locker room. Like it channels all the way through, right? Like we don't get to hear like all of it, but we hear the rowdiness, the music playing, everyone, you know, jumping up and down, the screaming. Like take us through what it's like in that locker room with a win like this.
Oh man, especially it always feels great after a good win. I'm sure they were ecstatic. I mean, playing a ranked Oregon team, we haven't beaten them in the Justin Wilcox era, have we? No, we haven't. Right? We haven't beaten them. We haven't beaten them yet. I've seen Coach Wilcox happy on video, finally get that breakthrough win, and man, I just from the looks of it, I could just tell they were happy. Like, they played a great game. Everybody came out and played really hard. I mean, there were still mistakes here and there, but, you know, they're still learning. Still a fairly young team. So,
like Coach says, you know, you guys get like a 24-hour turnaround to celebrate the win. But, like, when you get these types of wins, I can't help but think, like, it goes beyond 24 hours, right? Like, you can't really just shut it off after Monday comes around.
Right, yeah. Coach always talks, once Monday practice comes around, Coach always talks about, like, just – Get ready for the next week. But I mean, it still always lingers. I mean, it definitely still lingers on. It gets you some momentum going into the next week too. So that's always good. Hopefully they keep it going versus Washington State this weekend.
So how do you think the team feels right now, Trey? Like if you think about Oregon State and then Stanford, two games that you're probably coming off of those games being like, damn, we lost that game more so than the other team really winning it. Maybe. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, you know, I got to play it cool here, but you know, games that are, you can make a good argument that we had this opportunity to win. And then now you beat this Oregon team who exactly like Wilcox just hasn't been able to beat. What's the mindset of this team? If you could put yourself in those shoes going into next week.
I mean, I was talking to a few of them before the game, and they seemed fairly confident that they were going to beat Oregon. Like, I talked to a lot of them, and they just came out really confident. That's why I went out and tweeted, I was like, Cal by three, because I already know Cal's going to go. Like, when I that confident, like, I know when my guys are confident, they're going to go out and play really hard. So I talked to a few of them. They're really confident. I mean, it's Oregon, you know, big time players, all the stars. So you always want to go out with a chip on your shoulder and ball out. And I just heard that from so many of the guys. I'm like, yeah, they're ready. Like they're going to win this game. Like they're very much ready and they're going to lay it all out there. And that's what I seen. Like everybody went out and played with a lot of heart, and that was good to watch. And it's just like the past few weeks. I mean, obviously we know Cal's a better team than what they showed, but I mean, it's a weird season with COVID and things of that such, and you're missing, you know, key offensive linemen and key players. So it's a lot that goes into it, not to, you know, play the excuse game, but you know, it still is a lot that goes into it. So yeah, I know they were excited before the game, probably even more excited after, and I'm sure they're excited to play Wazoo this week.
I mean, I think all three of us kind of thought that this game was winnable. Trey probably had the inside scoop on it, and you know, he called it first. But yeah, I mean, going into this game, I definitely felt like this was a winnable game. Oregon had not dominated in the entire year. Like Stanford, I think, could have beaten them if, you know, Jet Toner didn't miss four field goals.
Yeah,
like, so you know, this felt like a gettable game, and more so than the last few years. And especially with Shuck not playing well, you know, he definitely is not a Justin Herbert. I think everyone kind of, you know, low key Cal fans that are very, very in like the weeds of college football were like, this has that inkling of like a very easily doable upset. And it felt that way to start the game too, right? Like we were offense out of the gate was just solid after that first drive. We're scoring. And going into halftime, we're like, oh, yeah, good lead going into halftime. And then, oh, boy. Oh, boy. I was on the live stream, and we were up, right? And then my pizza came. So I went downstairs to pick up the pizza. And I come back up, and then we have the ball again. And I'm like, wait, didn't we just give the ball back to them? Like, what happened? And they're like, you shouldn't have left. It's all your fault. You left to go get a pizza and everything went to the crapper. Like, this is all your fault. So yeah, to Nick and to Linda and to Avi, they all blamed me for that. But anyways, moving on. Trey, I want your takes on what you saw from the offense in this game. Like from a defensive perspective, like what were they doing that was so effective, particularly early on? And I think Andy might have a follow-up question with that, with about, you know, Andy kind of talks about the offense and maybe there's moments where they turtle. Like from a defensive standpoint, do you kind of see that happen as well, where they maybe going a little bit conservative because they have the lead and want to eat some more clock? Yeah. But yeah, your takes.
I think Cal offense kept the Oregon defense honest for the first half. So, I mean, you see, we came out with a nice few trick plays. We came out with some misdirection. We came out running the ball really well. And then you see we let just Chase go to work. Like we seen the one-on-one matchups on the outside. Makai's a really good receiver when it comes to separation. Dylan was getting open quite well. Then, of course, Nico had his breakout game. So you just kept them honest. I mean, we didn't take too many shots because, I mean, it's Oregon secondary really fast. I know most of them as well. And so it's like, okay, you're not going to take a lot of shots, but we're going to dink and dunk and, you know, move the ball down the field steadily. And, you know, we're going to just wear them down up front. I mean, I think our whole offensive line was back this game, so that kind of helped. And then, you know, misdirection, trick plays. I mean, it was some nice play calls, really. I was shocked. I was like, wow, these are some plays I've never seen before, especially the touchdown to Nico. Coach GA used to have us watch that play in film all the time, like the touchdown play to Nico, and it was shit. I didn't even know Cal had that in their playbook. I said, wow, that's crazy. So just to see that had me kind of hyped because I seen it before the play even started. I said, oh my god, he's gonna run the drag wheel. I said, okay, this is gonna be a touchdown. Like, I just knew, like, this is gonna be a touchdown because nobody ever sees that. So it's good to see them start opening up the playbook more. That's really it. Like they're starting to go deeper and deeper into the playbook because they're getting more, you know, comfortable. And that's always really good to see.
Yeah. Go ahead, Andy.
Is there a level of predictiveness that then starts to happen in the second half. If you compare like first half, second half, or maybe even as you just like look at the, you know, the last two possessions felt really significant in particular, at least to me as a fan, they felt really significant. And so when you start to really hope to have, you know, I think of some of the drives that we've had in the past, and particularly we've had the long big game drive down the field, you know, that set us up to win that back in 2019. And we've been able to, we kind of had those methodical drives downfield, as you're sort of saying. As you get later in the game, is there, as a defender, are you able to kind of pick up on things better? Does it make it, is it put more pressure on the offense to do things differently? Mm-hmm. Curious to get your thoughts on that.
Every offense comes in with a game plan. So, what we used to do back last year and the year before, we would watch the plays ran in the first half, and odds are those plays are going to get ran again in the second half. Offenses don't have the whole playbook when they come into games. So if you really play close attention to the plays that are ran in the first half, you will see what's going to come in the second half. And that's just how it is, because you can't bring your whole playbook in. It's just not realistic. Then you got to go over every play during the week when odds are you're probably going through 30 to 35 plays during the week of practice. So I think that's kind of what Oregon caught on to. And then probably Cal took a more conservative approach once they retook the lead. So I seen that a lot, you know, trying to run the ball downhill. But Oregon's front seven was just really, really strong. So it was kind of hard to do that. So, yeah, I guess we just got conservative a little bit in the second half. It would have been good to see maybe some play action boot get chased on the outside, just because it's like, okay, they're going to stop the run because their front seven is really good. I mean, they have a few five stars. I know Kayvon Thibodeau is pretty good. Noah Sewell's great. I like the way he plays. So it's like, okay, they're going to stop the run. You know, just let Chase, you know, bootleg and, you know, get some yards with his legs, because Chase is pretty fast, or he can throw the ball, you know, just to keep it safe. You know, Chase is a pretty safe player. He's not going to go out and commit too many turnovers. So, yeah, it's a lot of conservative play in the second half.
I mean, go ahead,
Rob.
I mean, what I was going to ask was, I think that's a good transition for me to ask you about what it was for what you saw from the Cal defense, because that kind of felt like what happened with the Cal defense, because they kept Oregon scoreless in the second half, and it looked like the defense kind of zoned, like just locked in the second half. Like, just they were everywhere that Oregon tried to go. They were just tackling everywhere. The guys that needed to show up this week in order for the defense to actually play really well, like Cam Good, who has had, you know, just a flatline type of year so far, and then he explodes. Braxton Crotto explodes. Brett Johnston explodes. You see, like, all of those guys that need to play well, play extremely well at their moments throughout the game. And I think it was even more clear in the second half. Like, is that what – do you think that attributed to, like, the Cal defense just being absolutely stellar in the second half of this game?
Yeah, I think the back end still doesn't get enough credit. Like, I mean, the Takers are still the Takers. Like, Chiggy, Cam, Josh, Elijah, you didn't see many, if any, deep balls caught on Cal other than the busted coverage. And, when that happens, the quarterback can hold the ball a little bit longer, and that gives room for Cam Good and them to get in there and get sacks. I mean, of course, Cam played exceptional. Like, I was watching the game. I said, wow. Like, but Cam always had that talent in him. It's just – he's been derailed by little small injuries that, you know, you can't really stop. So, like, we all knew Cam had that in him. Like, Cam should have been all Pac-12 the past 2 years if he just stayed healthy. But, it's the dudes on the back end as well. They're doing a good job of correcting things, and they're locking up. I mean, Oregon's quarterback didn't really have much to do. Like, kept taking sacks. I mean, that's all you really could do. I mean, you keep them in the pocket, you're just going to have to take the sack eventually. So I give a lot of credit to the dudes on the back end, and it gave them time for the front end to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you saw them get a little bit more open with the defensive playbook too. At least that's what I saw. You saw, you know, some more cornerback blitzes. You saw a little bit more disguises. You saw pressure coming from a bit more different places. Like, we hadn't kind of seen that all year, but we're so accustomed to that as a part of our defense, mm-hmm. that we've seen over the last 2 years. And it was weird not having that. do you think it was one of those things where you lost the Stanford game and it's just like, you know what? We're gonna throw it all out there. Like we feel like we can win this game, and we're just gonna do everything that we possibly can to do it.
Yeah, it just comes down to trust. I mean, you still have guys. I mean, you have Chiggy, who's a first year player. You have Elijah, who's the first year at a new position. Josh, who's not a first year player but getting consistent snaps, and then you know Cam's the leader of the group. Then you have Craig and you have Daniel, both first year players. So it comes down to trust, and you know once they start seeing that, okay, these guys can still ball. Then it's like, okay, let's start opening up the playbook. Let Josh go in on a blitz. Let Elijah go in on a blitz. Let's see what our guys can do, and let's let them make plays. And that's really it. They went out and they just made plays. And that's, I mean, we all knew that's what they were going to do. Like, they're all great players. Like, even with us going, they're still great. Like, these guys great. Like, there's no, like, downhill trajectory to it. Like, they're all playing very well. Yeah.
Does that set you up for more confidence as you go into the next couple of games? Like, looking at what you've seen with Washington State or the new Washington State and then, you know, this mystery opponent, do you see this as a progression, basically looking at maybe let's call it like the big game was that turning point? Not that, I mean, you could really blame the defense in any sort of scenario whatsoever with Oregon State and what happened. But, you know, sort of looking at I did feel like there was, Rob, to your point, that opening up of the playbook slightly more with the big game. We sort of felt like coaches were like, hey, this game means a lot. Let's do this. And then we've seen maybe a progression of that. Trey, as you look ahead, similar, different?
Yeah, I see Cal winning out. Like, they're starting to get their groove back. Chase is getting his groove. The defense playing lights out. I don't see them losing to Washington State. And whoever they played in their last game, I don't really see them losing to them. I don't see them losing to them either. I had to think about it. I was like, okay, SC would be a good game, but I still don't see them losing to them either.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical, and Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to Comscore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring, and you only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. That offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Football is back in full swing, kind of, not really, mainly not. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. Can we, and I ask you this, Rob, can we please see if BetOnline has odds on whether or not the game this week will be canceled due to COVID? We'll see. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I got to ask you about the younger guys. Like, you know, you've raised, I mean, this defense is fairly young outside of the few elder statesmen, mm-hmm. like Zion Day and those guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see Iosefa, right, starting at inside linebacker, fourth on the tackle list in this game. Right behind him, Craig Woodson. Two guys behind him is Daniel Scott. Right behind Daniel Scott is Braxton Crotto with Everett Hattersall. Like, take me through what you saw with some of those guys, and like, if you're excited to see what the future holds for them. I know you guys, the Takers, a lot of you guys hold Craig Woodson like in very, very high regard,
yes.
For the future. But you know, just take me through like some of those other young guys that you saw.
Craig, I love Craig. Craig's going to be a great player. I just like him. I like him as a human being too. But I remember it was a span of practice. I think he had it was his redshirt year. I think he had like 10 and like, no joke, I think he had 10 interceptions in 3 practices. It was something absurd. And we were like, I'm like, wow. Like, and coach was even talking about like, if we didn't use up his 4 redshirt games, we were going to play him in the bowl game or something like that. But it was just absurd. Like, towards the end of the year, my last year, so his freshman year, he was just playing lights out. I'm like, wow. Then D Scott's a very aggressive player, great tackler. And then all the other young guys, like ISF, I don't really know him too much, but he's been playing well as well. I've been watching him. He's been playing well. Then, of course, Brett, Braxton, they're really strong guys up front. And so they look good, man. It looks good for the future. Like, honestly, it looks good. Then Chiggy, of course, long guy, lock up. You know, he's, you know, still learning the defense, but he's also playing lights out when it comes to man-to-man. So it looks good. It looks good for the future. I'll say that.
What's one thing that you'd like to see more of that you think could take this team to the next level? As you look, maybe choose any side of the football. You could choose, you know, offense, defense. We could leave special teams maybe out of it. But, you know, the announcers made a really big deal about how Cal was going to focus more Nico's way. It looks like it, you know, was a good strategy, obviously. But, you know, is there anything else that you'd like to see them open up on either side of the football?
Just do more of what they did versus Oregon. I think just, you know, open the playbook up a little more. I mean, well, they were running plays that NFL teams run. I was like, wow, okay, this is new. Like this, I like this because we used to watch film on it all the time. So it was always good to see that. I'm like, okay, they're really opening up the playbook. And I guess that's really it on the offensive end. The defensive end, I mean, there's not too much you can change up on the defense. That's the thing. Like, you can either blitz or you can sit back in zone and run man. I mean, odds are the offense knows what's coming. So pretty much just goes back to the offense, just open up the playbook a little bit more. I'm glad I see that they trust the receivers a lot more, throwing deep balls, because Kako and Makai can go get it any day of the week. And, of course, Nico over the middle. So Nico took a lot of big hits, actually. I remember that. Took a lot of big hits this game, but still over the middle, he's not afraid to go get the ball. So that's good to see.
Yeah, there was that moment where Nico got hit hard, and everyone, all of us, like held our breath. We're like, please, yeah. Please get up normally and fine, please, please.
Yeah,
I mean, to Trey's point, like I think that's absolutely right on, because Andy, you're probably the longest tenured Cal football fan out of all of us. When's the last time you saw Cal run a flea flicker?
Tedford days, right?
Did we run flea flicker during the Tedford days?
I know we practiced it.
Yeah, that also caught me by surprise too. I said, "Whoa, flea flicker!" Yeah.
Ran the flea flicker this year or this game. Last week we had that speed option to Dancy. Yeah.
Like, speed option was dope. I really like that.
There's these things coming out, and I'm like, I didn't even know we had like the for me the biggest thing I knew we had in the playbook was 5 verts. And I was like, that's awesome that we have that in the playbook. And I was like, wait, we have speed option in the playbook? Wait, we have a flea flicker in the playbook? Like, we're just adding these things. I mean, I think it's clear when you see that type of progression that's why they're slowly opening the playbook. There's so many plays, like, you know, who was I talking to about this? I was talking to someone about this. And we were just like, it's so hard to pick out a single play to break down from the game because we haven't seen this variety of an offense at Cal in quite some time that it's really hard to be like, oh, I want to do this one. I want to talk about this one. No, but then that one was cool too. I want to talk about that one. And there's just, it's, you're starting to see more and more of that. Different personnel groupings, different types of formations, different types of routes. Like, you know, the that little drag wheel route that Trey's talking about. Like, that's, I had to rewatch that because I was like, I've never seen a college team like that's a non-pro style like run that before. And I was like, we had that. Like, that's awesome. this felt like that game where we like saw what it could be when it's fully functioning. But I have to say, like, we got to talk about both positives and negatives. There's also that side of like, you know, the flea flicker was great, but the flea flicker, I think the target man was like 2 yards shy of the first down marker. I believe we threw that on third down, right? And it was like, it was a flea flicker that went for a 5 yard out route. And it's like, you have to run that hard of a trick play to, and that's the distance you're trying to go for. Like, that's why there's like a disconnect for me. It's like, usually you try those flea flickers and you're trying to get like 15, 20 yards downfield, right? You're not going for a 5 yard out route. I mean, I'm also not Chase in the pocket with, you know, multiple guys that are 6'5" running at me at full speed. And I have to look over 6'7" guys to make the throws. So, you know, there's that part.
Yeah. I mean, for your own health, thank goodness for that. yeah, I mean, I thought that Oregon's, Trey, as you said, like, Noah Sewell looked amazing. Thibodeau looked incredible. I was like, these guys, you know, they have they have a lot of talent there. I wonder if we can talk a little game theory here and throw Trey off slightly. Ball's at the 25 of Oregon. Wilcox decides to go for it instead of kicking the field goal.
And we were up like four?
We were up four at the time.
Yeah.
As a fan, and as if you can separate out as a player and as a fan, those two different decisions, or is it still one and the same for you? And I'm curious where you go with it. If it's like, you're like field goal, or if you're like,
yeah,
go for it, or put the game on my back as a defender.
Yeah, that call is very questionable. I really... I really didn't understand because the defense was playing lights out. So I understand what Coach Wilcox was doing, but the defense was playing so lights out that I would just take the kick and trust my defense because it's like, okay, we're playing well. But, you know, it's like, okay, go for the win also. Like, you could have just put them away right then and there. Yeah. It's not understandable, but like when you don't have like the most high-powered offense, like our offense is efficient, but it's not really high powered, and you're going up against some talented guys. Like, yeah. Then I didn't like the play call either. Like, threw it out to the right, and he was still shy of the sticks, even if he did catch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. If it was me, I would have kicked the field goal. I understand Coach Wilcox goes for the win all the time, so he wanted to go for it, just, you know, clear it out right then and there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I mean, it can go either way. But
Trey, for you, like, I know Coach Wilcox has talked to us about, like, how much they at least listen and take into account the analytics side of it. As a player, like, how much of that do you guys lean into that at all? Or I've always wondered a little bit about that.
Well, most players they probably did tell Coach Wilcox to go for it, honestly, because that's something I would have did. I would have told him to go for it. But that's because I trust us, so it's like, okay, even if we don't get it, I know we're gonna battle.
Yeah. But
like, maybe you talk the same, like, okay, like, they're gonna stop them regardless, so let's either try to win it now or win it later. So either way it goes, a win, and I'm just happy they got the win. That's it.
I think the last part, we got to talk about the special teams, because this might be the first game in quite some time where the special teams didn't really have a big mishap. Nico actually had his first non-fair catch return this season without a penalty.
Yeah.
Like, that is insane to me. He even had a long one in this game be called back.
Yeah.
Like, to start off, right? So I don't understand. But like, Trey, talk to me about like what you think about like all those penalties with the special teams and Nico and his unfortunate. Should have two touchdowns to his career, but don't.
Yeah, I mean, with special teams, it comes down to like the little details. And, you know, some calls are just absolute crap sometimes. Like, I think Nico's first touchdown versus Oregon State, I think. I'm looking like that's not a hole. Like, that's just a really good – like, that's just somebody getting dominated. Like, it's not a hole. He's honestly just getting dominated, and you feel sorry for him, so you want to throw a flag. Like, that's really all that was. And I was just really confused. But honestly, special teams has really come down to the detail. And, you know, a lot of things, a lot of mishaps that they had with special teams in the first 3 weeks of the season just came down to the little details, like literally minor details. Like, when the punt got blocked, I know like, the technique is like slide, shuffle, shuffle, and he shuffle, slid, and it was like, okay, that's a total mess up. But it's like that little thing caused like half a yard of separation to where he can squeeze through the middle and block the punt. Like, it's really the little things when it comes to special teams. And also when the block field goal, another little thing, you got to come together really quickly. I guess they didn't come together fast enough, and somebody like was able to squeeze through. And that's just some things a lot of fans don't see, like the real detailed side of football. Like, it's really a game of inches. Like, you're 1 inch to the right or 1 inch to the left, that can really do a lot for the game. Like, it can really change the whole trajectory of the game. You know, that really cost them in games before. And to come out versus Oregon and not have any mishaps on special teams, I mean, you obviously see what that did. It helped them a lot.
Yeah. I mean, field position alone was super beneficial in this game, particularly because we punted a lot too.
Yeah, it was really good. They did a great job covering. I think I seen Josh running down there, D Scott running down there. They got some speed on them, so covering shouldn't be an issue for Cal.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all the questions I had to ask Trey about this. I will say, Trey, like, your little discussion that you had with GA on Twitter about the broken coverage, like, as a fan, that's awesome, because that lets me into a little window into like what it looks like to like have a football player and a coach like talk about a play and breakdown. Yeah. I just gotta say, like, I loved it. I absolutely loved that little back and forth. But who's right? Is it you or is it Coach GA? I need it finalized here.
I had to really dig deep, so I had to call Josh after the game. I was like, bro, because I'm thinking it's the backside corner, and GA's saying it's the linebacker. We've never seen that play before. That's why it was shocking to both of us. So I called GA. I said, Coach, whose job is it? He said, it's the linebackers. He said, Oregon just did a really good job hiding the running back. I was like, but doesn't the corner have four on the backside? He was like, no, but four is on the front side. I said, so who has the backside? Like, you can't leave a linebacker on a running back. He was like, you're right. You can't leave a linebacker on a running back, but they left a linebacker on the running back. So now I was like, okay, let me call Josh. So I called Josh, and Josh was like, a linebacker is on a running back. So I said, okay, well, guess he was right. I was confused, like, bro, like, you can see in the play, Coyne was confused. Like, he runs with the running back, then turns around, looks to see if there's a safety behind him, then notices that there's no safety, and then starts running again. Like, the whole defense was confused. We've never seen that play in 4 years, so I was just as confused as them. And I said, wow, that's a great play call. Like, that was just a good play call by the Oregon offensive coordinator.
Well, Coyne might have lost the guy on that play, but he sure made it up for two forced fumbles.
Definitely made it up. Big time plays.
That defensive player of the week in the Pac-12.
Yeah. Coyne. Yes, sir. Two forced fumbles. I said, wow, that's so clutch. Especially that second one. I was holding my breath that whole drive. I said, oh my God, please make a play somewhere.
You weren't the only one.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me feel good that it affects Trey the same way it affects us. I was like, I'm gonna take, yeah. Oh my god,
Trey's on this side of Cal football now. Like,
yeah. I know
he's on this side with us.
It's definitely stressful, man. Definitely stressful.
But we got the win, and we're all smiles.
Right,
that's all that matters. Like, I just saw the video that they put out of like where they the little of the game, like behind the scenes stuff. Locker room was going nuts.
Yeah,
like, I can't imagine. So, yeah, I know the guys are probably enjoying it. Trey probably knows better than us that the guys are enjoying it. So.
Yeah, definitely have fun, you know. But, you know, back to work this week, you know, new opponent. Got to keep the win streak alive.
Got to do it. Got to beat Washington State. That's the next step. Yeah, that's the next step. Well, Trey, we appreciate you joining us and giving us your insights. We always, always love having you on and talking football X's and O's with you and getting what it's like from a player's perspective versus us who are just fans and, you know, never actually competitively played the game of football. So we appreciate it, man.
Man, thank you guys so much, man. It's always an honor to be on here.